Hello there, everybody. It's me, Gary Kidney, the co-host of You've Got to Be Kidding Me on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.
And I am Liam Jones, my full name, and I am also a part of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network as a co-host for You've Got to Be Kidding Me.
We are a TNA history podcast that covers TNA 1 month at a time. We cover all the drama, all the matches, all the Vince Russo nonsense you could ever want in your life.
Have you heard of TNA? I bet you have, but would it be funnier if two people made jokes over it the whole time? Probably.
So if that sounds like fun to you, check it out on this very Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network, and Liam will do bits and whatnot.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hey, are you working hard or hardly working? Ha ha! It's that time of year again. It's time for the Super Dad Cast. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Super Dad Cast. As always, it is your favorite Uncle Damon's dad, John Enright, a.k.a. J. Reezy Men on the Internet, along with his tag team partner, Mr. Elliot Ames. How are you, Elliot?
I'm doing great, John. I'm so happy to see you. I'm so happy to have been asked to be back on this this esteemed podcast that is, you know, really the center of the New Japan pro wrestling world. And you know, we're here to guide people through everyone's favorite time of the year. Literally everyone's favorite time of the year, the World Tag League.
Exactly. It's where else can you go and just watch tag match after tag match after multi-man tag match after tag match? I mean,
the answer is nowhere.
Nowhere. And I mean, you think about it. I mean, it's that annual time of year where we do that. And, you know, it's our annual catch up with each other to see how we've been doing. And, you know, it's amazing. It feels like we just did this because, you know, time flies like an arrow, but fruit flies like a banana.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is technically your second dad joke of the podcast. Because I think working hard or hardly working it qualifies as a joke. It's sort of just a nice little kind of stand in for like a, hey, how's it going? Yeah. But yeah, great second dad joke. John's going to have a lot of those tonight. I hope you all enjoy them very much.
Yes. The amuse-bouche was the beginning with the working hard. There we go. So, I mean, LA, you know, it's a little bit. I hope you've been well. We're a year older. Me, because Wednesday, look, New Japan said, hey, look, we're going to take a day off because it's John's birthday. He's turning 45 on the 22nd. So the last time you heard a podcast from our friends on the night, Cap, who did the show before us, go check out their podcast, the great Super Canadian Cast that filled in. They ended on the 21st. New Japan said, nah, it's the 22nd. It's John's 45th birthday. Let's take that day off. And so we're taking the 23rd, 24th, and 25th of November for World Tag League. But, you know, we're literally a year older. How has anything really changed a lot since we talked last, Elliot?
Well, you know, I turned 40 back in August, so I'm now a 40-year-old dad, which feels, you know, significant. Right. The kids are, you know, they're 7 and 5. They go to a Montessori school that is literally across the field from our house. So it's just like a super convenient setup for me and the wife. And I teach at a high school now, which is much better than teaching at middle school. I can't remember what age group Joel is teaching now over in England. I think it's like a little bit younger, maybe elementary from what I remember. High schoolers are just a little more chill. I have had a couple accidental drug busts where I walk into the bathroom and a kid is just smoking a vape pen. One of the times the kid, he was very nice about it and just followed me out and then went with a campus monitor and they took him. The second time it happened, it was a different kid. And he, even though I saw him do it, he then tried to walk past me and throw the vape pen in the garbage can and then claim that he didn't have it when the campus monitor called him on it. And then I was like, I don't want to bust kid. Like, it's whatever. Right. It's not a huge deal. But, like, if I see that, I can't just, like, let it go, you know, because, like, I'm not going to sacrifice my job for a kid getting, like, a 3-day suspension. But, yeah, to the campus monitor, I was like, he threw it in the garbage can. The guy just reached in and was like, okay. Like, let's go. And he's like, what? I didn't have it. It's like, okay. So, anyways, that's what my day is like. But it's a much better job, and I'm, life is good. So, how about you, John? How are things over there down in Texas?
They're great. My son is 17. He's driving now. He has his own car, which makes the world so much more wonderful.
Yeah.
As far as that goes, I'm still working as a youth advocate and running our social media for the agency I work for. So that's been good, and just been staying busy with that, helping teens in Parker County and raising awareness on just the various types of abuse that can happen. So, it was very funny. My son got his license in August. A week after getting his license, he got into his first wreck. So I had gotten a Hyundai Santa Cruz. I gave that to him to drive because, you know, it was a newer car. I was like, I'll just get a used car, and work with that. So he's getting a safe car, all that kind of stuff. So I found for a really good deal a Lincoln Nautilus. Cool. He's driving my Santa Cruz, taking a left into the school, the main road to get into the school. There's two lanes, like it's a straight lane and then a turn lane to get to the interstate. But the turn lane goes all the way from the beginning of the school parking lot all the way down to the interstate.
That's a very long left turn.
It's okay. A very long one, right? Yeah. So because you could turn in here, you could turn in here, and then you could turn into the interstate. So he's going to turn left. Well, somebody gives him in the straight lane space to go and waves him to go. So he checks twice, as he should, to make the left-hand turn. Well, someone decides they want to hop the line to get to the interstate.
Uh-huh.
And they come barreling down the turn lane at 40 and admitted it and T-boned him. So that car was totaled, and we had enough set aside money where we got him a second car, and we were able to get everything taken care of. But it was a mess dealing with
That's scary. And was he okay? All healthy and everything?
Everything was good. Car did its job. Airbags deployed completely on the passenger side, but he was in the driver's side, obviously. Okay, so
great.
You know, he was totally fine. He just, you know, was more shook up and upset and everything.
Yeah.
I will say this, and having ridden with him this past week to my parents' house and back for Thanksgiving and my birthday, it did not affect him because he does not understand how to slow up and not, you know, drive close to people or whatever. And I'm just going, I was like, okay, I got to put my head down. I got to put my earphones in, and I can't like pay attention.
Dude, that's a reality that I'm obviously quite a few years away from. And I think I would be the exact same as you. I don't think I'm going to be even then ready for my kids to be driving me around. That will just feel surreal.
Yeah. Well, here's the funny part, right? So I ride with me, he was whatever. So we're coming back from my parents on Friday, and my dad, we had to drop him off at a car dealership because he got a new car, and we brought his other car so he could get a ride home because he had to trade in the car, and the car that he bought was going to get a ceramic coat and protective cover and all that, you know, whatever he does with my dad's cars. So he still needed to ride home, so we drove his other car over there so he can take that. So I'm riding with my son back, and his girlfriend wants to come. He was supposed to do something with his girlfriend. I said, well, she was in a town kind of near on our way there. So I said, like, we can just go pick her up. That's fine. So we get there. She gets in the car, and all of a sudden, he's the perfect driver. Like, you know, perfect space, not speeding too much, not being aggressive. I'm like going, so it's me. I'm the problem.
It might be, yeah.
It's me, apparently. I don't know. So, you know, but, you know, it's never a problem when we get to watch World Tag League because, look, I don't care what you say. A lot of times with these, you get unique matchups. This year, we've had a lot of new faces show up for World Tag League. And I think, you know, it's really made for an interesting World Tag League because of a lot of the new faces that we've seen so far in this tournament. And again, the Nightcap folks did a great job last week of going over the backgrounds of a lot of these people, so I don't feel like we need to go into depth with them. But we may throw our customary dad rankings for some of the new guys that we have coming into this. And I did want to talk a little bit before we get started, because we're going to really not talk a lot about the multi-man tag matches. They're not really necessary. We're here for the meat and potatoes, which is the block matches. But I did want to talk about the Young Lions, Bolton Oleg and Oscar Lube. I don't know if you've seen anything with them yet or not, Elliot. But
I still have not seen – I don't think I've really seen Bolton Oleg. Okay, by the way, I know they say Bolton Oleg sometimes, but then I heard his name first as Oleg Bolton. Like, is it like – I don't understand what's happening there. But anyways, I haven't really seen him. The only undercard match I watched for any of these three shows was on the second night, the 24th, the opener there with Oscar Lobe against Katsuya Murashima. We are dads. We have a limited amount of time, and the undercards of a World Tag League show, I'm sorry, it does not qualify. It doesn't crack my schedule. I'm not making time for that. So if you're out there and you are watching the undercards, more power to you. It's great. I'm happy for you. And I'm not being sarcastic. It's good that you have the time to do that. But the match with Oscar Lobe and Katsuya Murashima, it was about 6 minutes. It was pretty much Oscar Lobe beating the crap out of Murashima for the entire time. I think Murashima got just a little bit of a hope spot, and then Lobe booted him in the face, and that was the pin. Murashima seems good. Like they mentioned on the Nightcap guest appearance, I'm not sure if he has a skin condition or if he was like all bruised up, but like once a whole arm and like once, like, I don't know. You'd have to see it. And if he's got a skin condition, you know, please, everybody, I'm not trying to mock him for that. He seems good. He's got some fire, that Murashima, you know, just shaved head, black trunks, the typical look that they all start off with. But Oscar, you know, Oscar's got some, I think he's got some upside. If he can get maybe a little less, but maybe the paleness works, you know, because he is incredibly pale. But his body's getting there. And, you know, if he can, you know, put it together, I think that's a good big guy that like what they said on the last episode, New Japan does need a big bruiser, scary guy like that.
Right. And you know, I think that's what you get out of both of these guys. Not only, And I don't remember which one of them, but one of them comes from a background. I don't remember if it was Bolton Oleg or if it was Oscar Lube, but one of them comes from like a wrestling, legit amateur wrestling background. I can't remember which one. But they have that very serious, you know, big time look to them that I feel like is going to be a big thing that is going to come out down the road that we're going to like, oh, yeah, this is what we needed in the long run for New Japan. So, I think those two guys really stood out. I did not see the match with Murashima because, again, like you said, we're dads. We have pretty busy schedules. The only time I stop down for multi-man matches is if my boys Alex Zane and Lance Archer were in. I'm going in. I'm going to tell you all this now. We are a Monster Sauce house in this family, in the Enright family. Me and my son, Lance Archer, in case everybody knows and doesn't know, or I've said it and they don't remember from last year, he's a friend of ours. He lives in the area, and he's been super kind to us. And then we've also met Alex Zane, and he was a super great dude as well. So my son has pictures with both of them. So we are a Monster Sauce house. So those were really the only matches that I saw. And the only reason why I brought those names up because on night one, on the 23rd, that match had featured Oleg, Yoshihashi, and Goto versus Lube, I believe it's how it's saying, Zane and Archer.
That sounds good.
Yeah, and so, and of course, it was kind of WWE booking that night where we saw Bishamon and, you know, Oleg go over on the win. And then, of course, what we see on the 24th, maybe something different happens. But but they were, you know, for young Lions in that match, I really felt like they were able to keep up, you know, for lack of a better phrase. And, of course, I love Lance, and I love his interest, and I love the fact that he beats up people on the side of the rings and trying to find young Lions to beat up or whatever. Like they said on the nightcap where he went and found somebody and then bragged him and was like, no, I've got to beat somebody up. Come on. So, you know, and so those are the matches. And then again, like on the 25th, the only match I really looked at was, you know, we saw Monster Sauce and Lou Bay versus Boltig, and then Atlantis Jr. and I think, yeah, I said this wrong earlier, Sobernero Jr.?
Soberano.
Soberano. Yeah. Sober, like as in sober as in I don't drink. Soberano. Okay, I got it now. Soberano Jr. So again, that is the six-man match I watched again, really kind of paid attention to. And again, I know that they're putting those two guys up against each other a lot, and Monster Sauce is losing in these matches, which is I'm okay because they don't mean anything, especially if they continue to have winning ways in block matches for that aspect. So again, they seem to work well with, you know, definitely Lube, Zane, and Archer seem to be working all well together in that match. And then the chemistry between Bolton and Lube seems to be really, really good as well, because I have yet to watch them and go, you know, but that's just me. Like I'm looking at it, you know, going mostly looking at Zane and Archer going, hey, let's go. Kind of thing, you know,
yep.
So
yeah, boys. Yep.
There was nothing in the matches that made me go, ooh, these guys stick out real bad.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they run a tight ship over there at the dojo, you know, sometimes too tight, but, but it definitely, it makes it so that when they're in a spot like that, they typically don't, things don't fall apart because there's young Lions in there.
Right, right. And it goes to show that this is the type of thing, like when you're a young Lion in New Japan, at some point you're going to be called to be stepping into the ring. And boy, these guys, this class especially, seems to be very good. Like I have yet to see, you know, some of these guys who I've been like, I don't know if he's going to be here for a while. Like, in the sense of like, he might not make it to the roster, you know?
There's nobody like that. Yeah, no, yeah. Everybody's good. Everybody's solid and will only get better.
Yeah, exactly. So how about we go into the 23rd and let's talk about, since we kind of got our previews done, unless there was something else you wanted to kind of discuss before we got into the block matches?
No, I got nothing. Let's get into the mix.
Okay, so let's start with... let's start with the 23rd of November. We had, which is Thanksgiving Day, for those of you who weren't paying attention to that or don't live in the United States. So I'm going to be honest. I had to catch this on a replay because I was overly stuffed with turkey and dressing and all the kinds of fun stuff like that. Shout out to Scampi in the background there.
I can get this cat out of here if it's
good. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. We talked before the recording, like I'm bringing back the vibes when Scampi would, you know, interrupt the recordings. Yes. This cat that I have down here is named Muffin. She is totally deaf and I think pretty blind at this point, 18 years old. How about you start setting this match up. I'm going to get this cat out of here.
Okay. All right. So we have the world tag team. This is the A Block. This is the second night, I believe, for A Block. And we have Chaos, the Chaos team of Tomohiro Ishii, Hall of Famer Tomohiro Ishii, and Toru Yano versus the Gates of Agony, which is Bishop Khan and Toa Leona. They are the Ring of Honor representative here and also AEW/Ring of Honor representative. Bishop Khan, I have seen a lot. He wrestles a good bit here in Texas.
Okay.
I've seen him at quite a few shows. Dude is jacked, solid worker, fits really, really well with that New Japan style, hard hitter, you know, just, you know, like makes it look believable and just, you know, really tight in everything he does. So, you know, this first match you know, you have classic Yano and Ishii. Again, this is an interesting like tag team because, like, when I think, I don't necessarily think Chaos. When I think of these two, I don't think of these two coming together. You know, because they're so opposite. They are so opposite. Like now, Yano's got this energy drink that he wants to like pitch to everybody or whatever that drink is.
Okay, and, yeah, that's what he's coming into the ring with now. Is that like his thing?
Yeah, that's his thing now. Yeah, great. Whatever the DVD is gone, he's now he's doing a drink or whatever. And you got Ishii who just walks in, you know, no, just just stone faced in. Let's go to work. And you know, it's just it was real interesting to say the least. And I think if I remember correctly, this one started with Chaos jumping the Gates of Agony beforehand.
I think, yeah, maybe like in the ring, kind of jumping. Oh, you might be thinking of was it on the third show we watched they Ishii Yano jumped the War Dogs.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, sorry. Look, look, sometimes when you've watched all these things in a row, you get a little.
There's a tendency for it to bleed together. I think this one was, you know, fairly good. I think Gates of Agony, like they come to the ring. If you haven't seen these yet, they look awesome. They, you know, it's some kind of, you know, I don't know, Polynesian or whatever kind of war outfits, like masks they look great. You know, for if they're with them introducing themselves to that Japanese crowd, they couldn't have picked a better look to kind of come to the ring and look, you know, fearsome. I did try to look up information to find out if either of those guys is a dad. I could not get any conclusive answer on that. If anybody remembers last year, I mentioned that I started to tweet at every wrestler in the tournament asking them if they are a dad. And it just felt invasive. So I didn't do that this year. but as far as, you know, I don't know if Tomohiro Ishii is a dad, but he's a guy who I have always, I've always viewed as my dad, basically. It's the dad that I didn't have. Tomohiro Ishii just has that energy of, again, just a no-nonsense, you know, just like, it doesn't take shit, but will support you through everything. That's Tomohiro Ishii. He's always been my favorite, like, pretty much from the time I started watching New Japan in 2015. He's always stood out, and I was really, you know, encouraged as I became a deeper fan and finding out that, like, he's a lot of, at least Americans, he's a lot of people's favorite wrestler from New Japan here. And I think it's just, he's always stood out. Like you said, he comes to the ring. He's one of the only New Japan wrestlers who, when they, you know, announce their name, he doesn't do a pose. He doesn't get on the ropes. He doesn't like even go, ah, he just sits there. He just like stares straight ahead. He's the coolest. He's just always been the best. And him being in a World Tag League, even if he's kind of in a team with Yano where they're kind of slumming it and they're not going to win very much. Right. Just having Ishii there as a presence to keep these matches exciting is really valuable.
Yeah, like, I don't disagree with you on that. I think Ishii is one of those guys that, you know, it's just incredibly dependable. He'll be in the ring no matter what. He'll put in the best. And I think that's where, you know, this was a good, like, second match for the Gates of Agony, because let's be honest, they're Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor is less than, you know. But they're not here to they're not going to win the A block, but they're putting on a really good showing in that, you know, in this tournament so far, and making that, like, okay, we want to see more of these guys. And we want to see what they have to offer. And I feel like that there can, you know, and of course, you know, night one, you come in, you're in a block tournament to start the match. Whereas some of the guys who are B block get that little buffer of, hey, we're in six bands or whatever, to kind of get the rust off. These guys, it's like, okay, we've been in Japan for like 3 days and our first match is a block match. So I feel like they're really starting to get their stride and understand what it is to be in a New Japan ring, which is not the same as a Ring of Honor or AEW ring at all. And so I felt like this is a really fun match, because you have three guys who just like to hit real hard, and then you got Yano, right? I mean, yeah. Yano just, but Yano brings just enough to make it, you know, not all the same thing. You know, it, it brings a little bit of difference to that match. And I enjoyed this one a lot. You know, if I were going to like grade this one, I'd say this was a solid like B match. Like, you know, I'd give a little grade of a B. Real solid, nothing too crazy or out of the, I mean, Yano is going to do what Yano does. So there was nothing like super crazy or out of the box for me. I felt like this was just a good start to the night. Again, the one thing I really like about it seems like too, the placement of matches, New Japan always seems to do well with these like G1s and World Tag Leagues and stuff like that. Where they place them on the card always seems to go real well and makes it flow really, really good for these matches. So that was the first tag night. That was the first match for the night. The second match for the night and for Block A, we had the United Empire of Great O'Conn and Hanare with his new face tattoo, defeating the Noah team of Kaito Kiriyama. And say the next one for me there, Elliot.
Well, it's Kaito Kiyomiya. And then Ryohei Oiwa.
Ryohei Oiwa. Obviously, I don't know Noah as much as I should. And I know you had mentioned Oiwa is on loan, essentially. He's on his excursion at Noah. But, yeah, Great O'Conn now looking like with that weird frobe ponytail mullet.
Oh, look. I'm into it. He looked insane before, but he looks like legitimately, you know, like unhinged now. They need to keep that look, I think, kind of forever. Like that should, or whatever, for the time being, like that should be the kind of new iteration. And he's not wearing, I know he's kind of been off and on wearing the not like baggy pants, but I think he had just like, he might have had like long trunks here. I can't remember, but like he's switching it up a little bit. And yeah. I think that looks nice.
Yeah. He'll do the long trunks on you and then he'll wear the short trunks.
Yep. Yep. So he's, yeah, he, I've always been partial to him. I think he's great. Hanare, if we're talking dad energy, I think we must have discussed him, or was he in the tournament? He was not in the tournament last year, I don't think. No.
But he was talking, I think he was in pre-match because we did mention a little bit how we talked, because we did talk about, because we found out he wasn't a dad.
Both of these
guys are not dads.
And yet. I can't remember if this has been since last year's World Tag League, but he, you know, I think he's been sort of public about how he, let's say he saves his seed, if you will. And so that means, I mean, if he's ever going to be a dad, you know, this, I can only assume saving the seed like that makes it so that once you do procreate, it's just, I mean, it's like a super good sperm that's just creating like a superhuman athlete of a child. So yeah. I think he's going to have a great kid and he's going to be a great dad whenever he does choose to release his seed.
Yeah, which I think that was a Super J-Cast exclusive that we found that out.
Like I said, they're breaking all the important news in New Japan. Right.
This is why we come to the Super J-Cast for that. I think, you know, of course, we all know that, you know, most he's Samoan he's Tongan or
it's something. Or like Maori or something like that.
Yeah,
like it's like a
Pacific Islander
in New Zealand. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Pacific Islander. Let's go with that. Yeah, it could be Maori from New Zealand because I know he's from there. But you know, we do know that that is a very family intensive culture. You know, so he definitely is going to be a good dad. Great O'Conn, we do know, as we talked about last year, he did save that child from the incident. And so that instinct already right there is going to make him a good dad when it comes to it as well. And then for these two guys, I don't know if they're dads or not either. Well, I don't think
I live in Iowa. That's Oiwa.
Yeah, Oiwa. I think he's too young to be a dad because you said he's on excursion.
I think he's 22, and then Kiyomiya is 26. And okay. I did try to look up Wikipedia. I feel like they don't release maybe a lot of personal information, some of these wrestlers, both Japanese and the luchadors, which we'll find out later. Like, apparently they try to keep that stuff like under wraps, but I would think, yeah, I would think both Kiyomiya and Oiwa, you know, they're both babies, you know, especially compared to old dads guys. Like you and me.
Yeah, the young guys.
They're young guys. We're having, exactly. So we'll give them time. They're going to be great whenever they get there.
Sure, sure. They're flashy dads for, you know, for sure that they're going to be. Because, man, some of those pants or whatever.
I mean, I wish I could rock stuff like that, but, you know, I would. Mm. I couldn't pull it off.
Yeah. Now, this match, I was, you know, interested in it for one, because I, you know, Hanare is sporting a bald head and a face tattoo now, which, you know, is interesting to see, because I hadn't seen Hanare in a while. And, you know, especially compared if when you, you know, before with Toa Leona, and, you know, before with him and Khan, you know, he has all that facial tattoo and the, you know, tattoo stuff on him. And then you see this with Hanare, who didn't have anything like that. And now he's kind of embraced it with the face tattoo. This, it made for a, like a stark different, like it took me a double take when I first watched this match going, wait, that's Hanare? Like, whoa, like Okan, the hair was whatever, but I, you know, I could pick up on that, but this was such a stark look difference. It felt like, boy, it made this team look very dangerous. You know, just if you're going by looks alone, like this looks like a very dangerous team just by looks. And where I struggled with this was the match, in the match itself, like I felt like Team Noah got, they were able to go toe-to-toe with these guys when I felt like it should have been the case. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can look at it that way. I mean, Kiyomiya is a former GHC heavyweight champion. So, you know, like, but we know how he was booked in the G1, you know, not very strong. You know, for all the flack that we throw at AEW for booking New Japan wrestlers kind of weak, or for making AEW wrestlers go over all the time, you know, New Japan kind of does treat Noah in a similar way. But no, I don't know. I think Kiyomi is very good, and Oiwa is tremendous. For how young he is, like, he is coming along. I know it's been mentioned on the show, but if you haven't watched from a month or two ago, him challenging Zach for the NJPW World TV title, it was great. Yeah, I mean, I think they're solid, and you know, Okan and Hanare, they're not necessarily like the highest slotted tag team in the world. So I think it was okay that they kind of went, you know, toe to toe like that. I don't remember who won this. I didn't write that down. Did you?
Let me see. Yeah. Let's see. Where did I put it?
I know, listeners, I know you're just waiting with like huge anticipation to find out who wins
this. United Empire won this one.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
Chaos beat Gates of Agony. I don't know if we said that.
That's right. I think we forgot to mention that too. Yeah. But this one,
it's been a year, people. Okay. Give us a little bit of a break. We're going to get our stride here in a second.
We're going through stuff. But this one here with Kiyomiya and Oiwa against Okan and Hanare was decent. There was a nice little stretch there where Okan and Oiwa were doing some like shoot style kind of grappling, which was nice. But yeah, decent match. You know, you don't have to watch it, but you know, live your life.
Yeah, I mean, it was there. It moved the story forward for these two, because you've got to move them out of block, you know, eventually. But I think really in the long run, this was just a match. You know, it was a more solid match to open with Chaos and Gates of Agony. This one was, I don't want to say this was your, okay, I'm going to say this was your pre-break match, right? This was the one where you're like, I can go to the bathroom on this one, because the next two were a lot better.
Yeah, I'd say out of the four tag league matches of this night, yeah, definitely the one that's probably the most skippable.
Yeah, I agree. So then the next Next match we have, the fourth match of the night, is Bullet Club War Dogs, which is Alex Coughlin and Gabe Kidd, and they defeated Shota Umino and Rin Narita. So I'm just going to make sure, because I have it in my notes now, so I'm just going to make sure I say it at the beginning, who did what. So we don't forget.
Yes, anymore. Thank you.
Yeah. But again, Alex Coughlin, Gabe Kidd, new to the scene for World Tag League as well. So is Shota Umino and Rin Narita. Again, all young guys. I feel like, though, all of them will be really good dads, especially Gabe Kidd. Everybody has a heart for him because of his, struggles that he had with his mental illness and his openness about that and the work he's done to overcome that. That to me just shows the resiliency that you need as a dad. I have hats off to him, and I think he's going to be really, really good as well for that.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's an impressive person. Yeah. I did look this up to make sure everybody in this match is under 30.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
Yeah. Yeah. But like at the same time too, this shows, hey, we have a really good future with New Japan, with our young guys, right? I mean, Coughlin, Gabe, Shota, and Rin. Look, I know that the Nightcap folks said that Rin is boring. I get that because, he's doing the whole Shibata look, rip off. And Shota's kind of a mixture of Tanahashi and John Moxley. But I think, we have to give this time. They're just not even a year out of their excursion. They're still trying to find their place, yeah. But I think, they'll figure it out, and this was the direction New Japan wanted them to go when they came back from their excursion. Right. It was kind of the whole thing. Rin Narita had no choice. They were like, oh, man. And before we even went on excursion, they were talking about how much he looked like Shibata and, in his look and how he carried things. And, I think and feel like, he'll get there and he'll find his way, but this match was, I feel like, and I may be wrong, but I feel like this was the match of the night.
Yeah, I wrote that in my notes as well. This is definitely, if you're going to watch anything from the 11/23 show, it would be Shota and Ren versus the War Dogs. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of impressive stuff in this. I am always, always impressed by Alex Coughlin. Mm. He is the strongest. It's insane. He did that suplex, which Scott Hall would do, where you're holding the guy and then you throw him kind of backwards and you fall. Scott Hall called that the sack of shit suplex. So, rips to him on that. But Coughlin did that to Ren, but it was like as he was doing it, like Ren didn't just go like sideways and down. He was able to like toss him like up in the air and then Ren flew. It was just like, he just can do things that basically nobody else on that roster can do strength wise. Like he's up there with, Jeff Cobb and other people like that. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, no. And these are two really strong boys, especially Coughlin. He's really good. I like the fact, look, I enjoyed you had Rin make his open, then Shota makes his open, and then the War Dogs jump him and, take his jacket and everything like that.
Yeah.
And the other thing I appreciated about this match, Lance Archer was out on commentary. So there you go. If you wanted to listen to that and listen to the English commentary, you could hear Lance Archer talking about that. For our Nightcap friends, Lance, yes, on his back, the angel wings is a new tattoo. Lance, for those who may or may not know, he is a Christian. And so he's using some of his tattoos. He's now changing and covering up some of his older tattoos that he had that he's not as fond of from his old lifestyle to represent more of his faith now. Like that's why he has the angel wings. That's why he has the hill with the three crosses. So Golgotha on the back, on his lower back, because it covers, if you look in some of his older pictures at Impact Wrestling and earlier times, it's more of a tramp stamp, for lack of a better phrase. And so he covers that up with the hill of Golgotha and everything along those lines. So, that's kind of his purpose in that.
He's in a transitional period with his tattoos. That's okay. We all go through metamorphoses in life. Yeah, and that's what he's doing right now.
Yeah, and so so that's why he is he has that look and everything along those lines. But at the end of the day, you know, I had to say that because, you know, Lance is my friend.
We gotta set the record straight here on the Super Dad Cast.
I came from the beginning saying we're a Monster Sauce house. So, and if you have, look, and if y'all have questions, you can always hit me up on Twitter at JReezyMen right here. Well, you can't see it because we're recording. We can see each other and they can't see it, but you can at JReezyMen and say, oh yeah. And I'll show you the pictures of my son with Alex Zane and Lance Archer and the multiple pictures we have with Lance Archer, that we have with them. And right here, over here, right here. See right there, Elliot?
Yes.
That is Lance Archer's custom-made wrestling belt, that championship belt that he had made. That's one of 10, and I got number 2 because he has number 1.
Fantastic. Yeah, I can see it from here. Looks nice.
Yeah, it's very nice. It's a 5-plate, you know, it's a nice belt. Let's put it that way. So, yeah, but good match. I really enjoyed this. I really feel like this is a great match to showcase the future of New Japan with these young guys, and they are going to do a lot for them. I really like the War Dogs, and I feel like this was a good win for them coming out of this block. And then our main event of the night, which is TMDK, Shane Hayes and Mikey Nichols, and they defeat the House of Torture, thank God, of Evil and Yujiro Takahashi. Evil and the Tokyo Pimp. Of course, it's House of Torture. So we get all kinds of fun of House of Torture bullshit, you know?
But it didn't, to their credit here for this, it didn't last a super long time. It wasn't as much BS as their match on the 25th. It kind of was limited to just about the end of the match, which is just fine.
But yeah, you had that like that moment where Dick to Go pops in there, and you know they all three do the whole thing, and he gets up on the top rope, does the smoky thing, and hits Mikey. Yeah. I think it was Mikey in the nuts, and then you know trying to get him to count, you know, 1, 2, 3, and they don't get it. You know, so like there was some shenanigans like that, but it could have been worse. I don't agree with you, but let's be honest. Like, at what point is House of Torture just going to go away? Like, stop. They're not Bullet Club. Stop with this Bullet Club bullshit.
They're not really Bullet Club. Their matches never really hit. The only real reason that I think they're around is for Chris Charlton to come up with different dick puns to use throughout the match, which he's very good at that. You know, he's hitting Dick. He's trying to find Dick. Just whatever, many dick puns, and it's
great.
But yeah, they're it's the same as ever. Yujiro moves as slow as molasses. Evil is underperforming to his potential, and Dick Togo ruins the match, and they pull the ref out. And if anything, though, they at least Evil doesn't as much do the spot where he knocks somebody into the announcer and that guy's table falls over. That didn't happen in either of the matches we watched, so I consider that to be a blessing.
Yeah. We did get a low blow and then a push to knock the ref out, red shoes out again, and you know that did happen, but you know, it's par for the course for you know House of Torture stuff. I understand that this is what they do, but at some point, can we like not have the entirety of House of Torture out? And can we not have the shenanigans of bullshit? Like, I know Joel loves them, right? And like, it's like, hey, oh, wow. House of Torture. You know, and I don't know if he really does love them, if he's just really good at being sarcastic, and I'm not picking up on it, but like, this needs to go. Like, we need to do something.
I have to think we've got maybe a year left, and then maybe, I know, and that's going to be a long time, but maybe it feels like it's been forever. And it's, you know, there's some matches. I thought that one in the G1 with Evil and Shingo, where it was just like a mountain of interference, but I think that one I actually thought worked, but it's just so few and far between when House of Torture stuff really hits. Mm-hmm. It's mostly just like, you're like, okay, I've seen this. Oh, yeah. They pulled the ref out. Oh, weird. Okay. Oh, they're hitting.
Oh,
something.
No.
Oh, Yujiro has a staff, or walking, whatever, the cane.
Yes.
It's just, you know, there's just not much happening.
Yeah. But
this is, you know, as dads, we know that there's certain things we just can't change. Right. We have to, accept, what's the phrase? Accept the things I can change or can't change. The things
I cannot change.
And have the grace to it.
The wisdom.
Okay, look, this is also a dad thing where we're trying to give wisdom and then we forgot the wisdom.
No, because I remember this in Catholic school when I was there, because I'm not Catholic, but Lord, give me
the strength
to accept the things I cannot change. To
try to change the things I can't. It's
and the wisdom to know the difference.
Wisdom to know the difference. Yes, right.
Yeah.
Nailed it. We got it.
Look, we got it. And just like this match, what did one toilet say to another? You look flushed.
Well, and that's what we all wish we could do to House of Torture. Get them flushed, yes. Right? Yes. Right down the drain.
But that ends night one, or night, no, this is night three, but our night one, on the 23rd, and brings us into night two for us, which is the 24th, which is night four. And we're going to get to see some B block results. Again, you said the only match you watched was the opening match for this one, correct?
Correct. Or, yeah. This was a tough crowd. This was in Kofu. Just a very sleepy crowd. They did not it felt like a clap crowd again, but I looked this up. I looked up Kofu, because, shout out my old co-teacher, Steph Fowler. It took a student, a bunch of middle school students to Kofu a couple years ago. And I did find out that they have a lot of wineries there. So I was thinking maybe just everyone was just kind of wine drunk and sleepy. Sure. Us dads definitely know about that. Just getting kind of a little, you know. So, no other explanation. Like, it was a bummer. It was like that crowd was not giving anybody much of anything. And that can, you know, on night four of the World Tag League, it can be a rough watch if that's the deal.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, it's also one of those things you're going to a new town, right? It's not like you were in the same town last night. And then two, you're getting a different block. So, I don't know, like, you know. But, you know, I get at the same time, too, that you go to some of these places and they're just like, okay, well, I'm here. Something to do. All right.
Yeah.
Like, this feels like, no offense, going to Iowa and, like, watching wrestling and going, all right.
Look, as a native Iowan, I'm not going to argue with that. You are exactly right. It's anytime I've been to, like, a WWE show here, it's the crowd is just not all that good. I have had some good crowds at the Pro Wrestling Revolver shows, the ones that Sammy Callahan runs here. So I've seen John Moxley and Swerve and a bunch of other people, and those are good.
Which he runs down here too. So you've seen Matthew Palmer.
I have seen Matthew Palmer. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. The Monster Hunter Matthew Palmer, who is the husband of Athena.
That's correct.
Yeah. So Matthew Palmer, they have a. Him and his wife own a promotion down here called MPX, and it runs weekly on every Saturday night in Bedford. You can go to their their venue is literally in a shopping center. Right? It was in Botchamania a few years back. Do you remember when the guy hits the roof and the ceiling falls apart and falls in? That was there at MPX.
That's great.
So, yeah, so it's great. And they've done some stuff here. I think they did something around Halloween down here in Grand Prairie, where they ran with MPX and Pro Wrestling Revolver, because Lance was on that show with some guys from Impact as well. So
Lance was on a Revolver show, I think, a few months before COVID. And so I got to see him at that, and I was extremely excited. It was one of the few people who was really going nuts for him. So yeah,
like, that's great, because he deserves it. But anyway, the only match I really saw was nothing in this one, because, you know, my attention was the block matches, because, you know, later on. So let's start with the World Tag League, the first block match of the night. We have Atlantis Jr. and Sobranero Jr.
Almost. Sobrano.
Sobrano. Sobrano, son of a bitch. I'm going to get it for you. And they defeated the Bullet Club Rogue Army of Bad Luck Fale and Jack Bonza. Oh, what can we say about this match?
Not very much, I'd say.
Yeah, like, look, if you like Lucha Libre, these guys are good. You're not going to watch for this match, though, because it's Bad Luck Fale. This Jack Bonza guy, he seems like a real solid hand, but, man, he's got a bad luck of the draw getting Bad Luck Fale to partner with in this.
In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking, maybe I can pull a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card. But with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now, when I buy Slab Packs at Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. I was able to open an Arena Club slab pack, and I'll be honest, it was a lot better than what you normally do. Say you go to a card show, and there's a random innocuous brown bag of cards, and yeah, you can open it, and look, it's going to be junk. You know what I mean? Like, you know what you're probably going to get in those. Maybe you find that fun, and sometimes I do. Sometimes I like just opening up cards and saying, ah, hey, look at some random cards or whatever. But if you're really in this game to find value and find particular cards, it sucks to have to buy these mystery packs, and it ends up being, you know, almost nothing, you know, nothing of value. Not with Arena Club. You get a display, again, of all available cards, hit rates, grading, so you know that when you're opening up the slab pack, you are going to get something valuable. You are getting something good. And Arena Club, in addition to having those great slab packs we just talked about, is also a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying, all that sort of stuff. But those Arena Club slab packs, man, they are revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling, and you can have them officially graded by Arena Club as well. So again, setting these things off, it's going to be officially graded by Arena Club. And the Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform that you have to check out. So right now, I've got a special offer here for Voices of Wrestling Network listeners. You can get 10% off of your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Now, that's a crazy offer. That's 10% off a $400 slab pack. $40 off right there. 10% off your first purchase. No matter what that purchase is, 10% off. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase on Arena Club. And we thank them for sponsoring the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. What's going on, guys? This is Rich from the Flagship Podcast here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. If I could have a moment of your time, I'd like to tell you about one of our sponsors, Eufy Video Lock. Eufy Video Lock is a smart lock, a 2K camera, and a doorbell, all 3-in-1, offering you triple security. So you can have everything in one device rather than installing many pieces on your front door. But it's not just for security. The Eufy Video Lock is also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys, and you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated cameras. Some other great features we love about the Eufy Video Lock is it is easy to install and set up with just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. Keyless entry, no more fumbling for keys when your hands are full. You never have to worry about kids losing keys or passing among renters. You also have 0.3 second fingerprint recognition, and 1 second unlocking. Again, 0.3 seconds, it's going to recognize your fingerprints, and in 1 second, it's going to unlock. And with the AI self-learning chip embedded, the more you use it, the more accurate it will be. Also, no battery anxiety. You have a rechargeable battery in there that could last around 4 months, and you will get a low battery notification before it runs out. Passcode unlocking, a remote control with a 2K clear sight, see who's at your door, and control from anywhere through the Eufy app. With enhanced night vision, you can have optimized view even in the evening. You can also secure your package delivery by view and two-way audio. And then best of all, no monthly fee. A bunch of other brands out there are going to charge you a monthly fee. You have your recordings locally, and you never have to pay for storage. Customer service, Eufy's got you handled as well. They are on standby for you 24/7, so you can enjoy a worry-free experience with an 18-month warranty, all backed by their professional customer service team. Contact them anytime by telephone, email, or live chat. Personally, as a homeowner, I love my Eufy video lock. I have the ability to see what's going on when I'm not home, when packages has arrived, and really the thing I love the most about it, the ease of being able to lock and unlock my doors without having to fumble with my keys and reach in my pocket or wait, no, crap, they're in my backpack, all that sort of stuff. All this is happening while my dogs are barking at me. You know what? Not anymore with the Eufy video lock. I touch it. 0.3 second fingerprint recognition. 1 second, door is unlocked. Much, much easier. So if you want to jump on board with Eufy Video Lock, search Eufy Video Lock. That is E-U-F-Y Video Lock. Again, that's Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Like, Fale, I'm sorry. Look, first of all, you have everything coming out about his school down there in New Zealand, which is not good. I don't know if you've heard anything about that.
Yeah, for sure. It's disappointing because, again, like they talked about on the show, like New Japan is somewhat affiliated with this and is clearly not overseeing it very well. And again, allegedly, we should disclaimer all that, whatever. I don't want Fale to come to my house in Iowa and beat me up. But yeah, I mean, clearly there's some not great stuff going on down there. And so Bonza, it seems like he is not one of those dojo guys there down in New Zealand. I think he is just more of like an active wrestler who wrestled Zack Sabre Jr. a few weeks ago down in New Zealand. So he's, you know, like a fairly big name there in New Zealand wrestling. I kind of thought he looks like if Eric Rowan got smushed down about 6 inches, basically his look. He got like a little more muscular and shorter. That's basically what Jack Bonza looks like. If you haven't seen him yet, just picture that.
Okay.
Redbeard, Eric Redbeard.
You know who he reminded me of? I don't know if you see this guy or not, but he's it's like that Ginger Billy, the redneck hillbilly guy, that comedian that always runs around with a shirt and got a red beard like that. He looks very much like that. That's cool. I saw that at first, and that's what I thought of. Let me see if I can find a. I'm gonna find an image for you. And I'm gonna show it to you. And that's what I love about StreamYard is I can show you things on StreamYard and go,
that is cool.
All right, so here we go. So this is Ginger Billy. This is what I, when I saw.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, everybody, if you look up Ginger Billy, yeah, that's Jack Bonza as well, except he's not missing the teeth that this guy's missing in a couple of pictures.
Yeah. Well, that one I think is he's got a cap on or something, but yeah. Yeah, if you go look it up, it's great. You know, go check it out.
All right.
Yeah, but like, oh man, like, and I feel bad for our CMLL guys or Lucha guys because, like, man, I know that they put on some earlier stuff that was pretty good, but I feel bad. This is just not a good set up for these two, like for anybody who has to face this rogue army, you know.
No, it's like the Rich and Joe from the Voices of Wrestling podcast have, they had some New Japan wrestler once said about Yujiro Takahashi, there's only so much you can do with a Yujiro. And I think we can definitely now apply that phrase where there's only so much you can do with a Bad Luck Fale. He's just, he's there. He's moving even slower than Yujiro. And just, yeah. But again, New Japan is loyal to certain guys and brings them in whenever they have a chance to. And he is still on their list of people to call for whatever reason.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, I guess there's that sense of loyalty. But man, at this point, like, don't you have to just say, look, with everything going on, we appreciate you and everything you've done, but nah. But can maybe
not.
Yeah. Yeah, but maybe this is like, they're like, okay, this is your last run. This is it. Right?
Maybe. Yeah, because he's really, he hasn't been around for much beyond this in 2023, has he?
Not that I know of.
It was,
that's why I'm surprised he did this, because it seemed like he came out of nowhere.
Yep. I guess they just needed people for World Tag League. So here we are.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, speaking of armies, where does the general put his armies?
In his sleeves. In his sleeves. There we go. That was, yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one you should hear, you know, during trick-or-treating. And I would give a kid like, a good chuckle if I heard that.
There you go. So our next match of the night is for the B block is Zandokin Jr. and Yota Tsuchi, who has the worst name ever given in Gene Blaster.
Well, see, I think Gene Blaster is the best name that any New Japan wrestler has been given. So we definitely disagree on that.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I guess I guess being single, you hear things, and hearing that makes me think of something probably completely different than most people.
I don't know where your mind's going on that. To me, it's just merely talking about the genetic code of this man, and he is spreading. You can't parse it any other way. It's just
he's the opposite of Hanare. He's the opposite of Hanare. And so they defeat Minoru Suzuki and Yuji Nagata. Again, an interesting pairing here of these two guys who traditionally not liked each other, who are coming together for the World Tag League. And there's been moments where we see them, these two teammates, facing off against each other. And if you don't know who Zandokin Jr. is, think One Piece in real life. Is he a luchador?
Yeah, he is. CNLL, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I was just making sure because it seemed weird to have Tsuji. And I know Tsuji did work over at CMLL, but you don't normally see a CMLL New Japan guy working together and a tag team. So think like this guy's a mass luchador who looks like he's missing from One Piece. So so pirate as piratey can be, with a mask that looks like he's wearing a eye patch, but he's not.
Yeah.
So and he's got pirate stuff on his stuff. So yeah, apparently he either likes pirates or he's into One Piece. And why are they called pirates? Why are pirates called pirates? They just are.
I've actually never heard that one. That's good. See, every listeners at home, you got to appreciate that John is coming out here with dad jokes that are at least fresh. Okay. You have to give him that. Okay. But whether you're greeting these jokes with just a grimace and a frown, that's fine. But at least give him that he's trying. Okay.
I'm trying. I'm doing my best here. Like, all right. I got to make World Tag League work in some way, shape, or form. And we're
indeed. Well, and so here's what I wanted to say about Nagata and Suzuki. Their tag team dynamic, it reminds me of like two dads who are trying. They're both like, there's a sink. Like, let's say that it's a family at Thanksgiving and the sink is like jammed up and broken. And it's two dads who are both trying to fix the sink. And they're disagreeing over each other with each other over like who knows best, and they're both trying to kind of elbow each other out of the way. Like, here, let me do this. No, like that. I got this.
Yes.
That is Suzuki and Nagata's dynamic in this World Tag League, and it's honestly like kind of great because you know they kind of like one guy will tag one of them in, and they didn't want to get tagged in, but they'll kind of and they'll just walk out. But then they get it together, and they're doing a good job by the end. Because, yeah, like, Suzuki and Nagata, they both still, you know, they're not as good as they were maybe even, like, 2 or 3 years ago, but they're still hanging in there with a team like Tsuji and Zanacon, who are both young guys who can fly around the ring if they want to. You know, they didn't really have to adjust their speed that much in this match. Like, it was a fairly good one.
Yeah, and look, I'm impressed with the pairing of Tsuji and Zanacon as well. You know, I mean, this is a completely fresh new tag team that's come together for this, and I feel like it works, right? I feel like this they're working well together for not having really seen them work together before. Like, it's come out of nowhere. I really feel like this is a good team, and of course, Suzuki and Nagata do their job again. They're not going to win this tournament either. They're there for name recognition, and they're there to eat pins. And so we know that they lost this one, and they're 0-2 at this point. But hey, that's okay. You know, they're doing their job. Yeah. So now, the next one is which is my match of the night. Which is Monster Sauce of Alex Zane and Lance Archer versus Bishamon, Hiroki Goto, and Yoshihashi, they beat Bishamon, which is interesting to say the least, because, again, new tag team. There's a lot of – but honestly, Lance has always been big in Japan. Like, always has been a big thing in Japan. Alex Zane has become big, so much so that Taco Bell has said, hey – we have your own Alex Zane combo at Japanese Taco Bells.
It's so crazy, yeah.
That's so dope, right? Like, I mean, like, the dude loves Taco Bell, and legit Taco Bell, like, legit. Like, when we were at the one of the wrestling shows where we got the picture with him, like, so many people brought him Taco Bell gift cards, and he was legitimately so happy about it. Like, I've never seen someone so happy about Taco Bell in my entire life. And it was, yeah, no, he legitimately loves it. And so, but like, I love the offense between these two. Like, you know, there are times where it's Lance just choke slamming Alex Zane onto somebody because he can, you know. Yep. I think like it was either this night or the fifth night, I can't remember, where there's guys on the outside. And so Lance grabs Alex and chunks him to the outside onto other people. Right. So yep. I think that was night five, maybe. It might have been the fifth night. Okay. But still, like, the fact that that's one of their moves is like choke slamming Alex Zane on top of somebody else.
They just have a great dynamic. Like, they have matching gear. Mm-hmm. They have theme music, which, yeah. I could sing that for everybody if you'd like. If you haven't heard it yet, the music goes like this: Monster Sauce. Monster Sauce. It's just basic, and it's great. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I don't know if you saw the video that they had, the video package done with it, you know, where it's the whole, there, you know, there's a monster loose in quote unquote Japan, and like, you know, old school, you know, Godzilla style Japan, where it's just cardboard boxes or whatever, and they're coming in defeating the monster. It's great. You gotta love the team. And then they beat Bishamon, the reigning champs. And then Lance gets on the mic afterwards and said, hey, look, we've won. We're gonna win the G1, and we're gonna come take these titles from you at the Tokyo Dome. You know, look, I'm for it. You know, again, I'm biased.
Yes.
I'm biased. And they're, you know, hey, right. It's this hand right here. No, this hand. Right there. Is that, like, I'm biased a little bit, but like, I feel like this would be a really fun tag team. And let's be honest, AEW isn't doing jack with Lance anyway. You know, I know that they just put him with the Righteous, which, okay, cool, whatever.
Like, yeah.
I don't see it as much with that. But look, I know most likely they're not going to win the whole thing. But I like this team. I feel like they've got a lot of momentum going with them, and I feel like this is a good, like, end of the night. Hey, we need a team who's gonna, maybe it looks like they're gonna win, but they're not gonna quite make it, and they're, you know, they'll be a spoiler for one team but not for another, you know, kind of giving that challenge towards the end. And they're a fun team to watch. I mean, him and Alex have really great chemistry together, and I really feel like it. This was a super good match. I really enjoyed it. I'm going to be honest. I did not expect Monster Sauce to win. If I'm 100% honest, because I mean, hey, this is the tag champs, and they already had a loss earlier, and so you think, okay, well, they're going to come back and they're going to get their win and get on winning ways, and now they're 0-2 in a hole, with and then Lance and them are Lance and Zayn are up, you know, with two wins now, and they're undefeated at this point, and yep. So you know, not the expectation I was going for, even though I'm happy for it. But the practical brain of me is going, I don't think so.
No, they definitely pulled it off. And so Bishamon lost to, was it Hikuleo and ELP?
I think so.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's two, you know, like, so I guess neither of those teams, Hikuleo and ELP or Monster Sauce, like, have to win, but they could still, you know, get a tag title shot down the line, maybe. Mm-hmm. But that's, of course, if Bishamon retains it. At Wrestle Kingdom, and I kind of feel like they won't, no matter really who it is that wins this thing. But I could be wrong. We'll see. They've definitely kept the tag belts on people for a very long time. And Bishamon, always good, always great, solid. Again, we know Goto, great dad, tremendous dad. You can tell from his Instagram, loves his kids. Again, Yoshihashi, we don't know. In researching Yoshihashi, trying to figure out if he has kids, I found that, like, it's one of those, like, websites where you can see a celebrity's net worth, and then it has, like, information about them. The thing I found said that Yoshihashi is worth $1 to $3 million, which, I mean, I guess that's maybe possible, but I kind of feel like he seems like the kind of guy who'd be so bad at investing his money, like, he would just, like, drop it on the ground, or, like, you know, like, a friend has a startup company, you know, and Yoshihashi invests a bunch in it, and it never gets off the ground.
Right.
It just seems like something that would happen to Yoshihashi. So I'm not buying that it's worth $1 to $3 million.
Yeah, no, I don't either. And I would say he probably is a dad. He's just that haggard dad. That's why he is what he is, because he's just so haggard, because maybe he's got like six kids at home, and he likes being on the road because he's like, I get a break for my kids, right? You know, like, I feel like maybe that's the kind of dad he is in this aspect. But you know, again, very interesting how this has played out so far with this. And then I'm gonna be honest with you, I feel like El Fantasma and Hikuleo could win this and it'd be legitimate, like or they make the finals, right, the against whoever in the A block. I feel like if you're gonna take two teams out of this one, I feel like Fantasma and Hikuleo could be your top ones. Like a stretch could be Monster Sauce would be your next two out of that. Those would be, I'd say, your top two teams out of this. You know, just based the way of they have been momentum wise, and I don't know that things change in this tournament. And they, you know, but really, in Block A, I feel like it's TMDK's to lose. Like, I feel like, and then the Bullet Club War Dogs are probably the second out of that one. If we're gonna kind of get an idea of where we're going with that, who would we say? I would say that would be your final four. If you're gonna have a final four out of that. You know, that would be my thought anyway.
Yeah.
But that's pure speculation. We don't know what's going to happen, you know, till later. Our main event of the night is Just Five Guys, which is Tai Chi and Yuya Uemura versus El Fantasma and Hikuleo. Again, a real solid match. Tai Chi, good. Yuya, seen him live. They did an Impact taping here last year, and my son and I got to go for free thanks to one of the promoters at one of the local wrestling companies here in town, and so we got to go to Impact Wrestling for free, which was super cool. And watching him wrestle in Impact was really great, because we saw him way back in the day in the G1 when he came here, and he was a young lion. And so seeing that, and then seeing him in Impact, and then seeing him now, wow, just the progression has been pretty impressive to see what he's been and where he's going. So, you know, again, a real good match, I think, real solid. The only reason why this isn't my match of the night is because I'm biased. You know? Yeah,
because this actually was my match of the night as well. Listeners, take your recommendations however you want, but I'd say both of those matches really worth watching. But this one, yeah, I mean, really solid. I think Uemura is, like, he needs to be a big deal guy by the end of 2024.
Right.
He has the look. He's extremely handsome. He's jacked. He, again, I don't know how they're going to do all this because they have so many people who are like the future, mm-hmm. you know, like Shota has just as good of a case. Yoda has just as good of a case to be that, you know, one of those top guys. But I think Uemura needs to be in there.
I agree.
He's great. Taichi is still here. And yeah. I was thinking, you know, we haven't seen Miho Abe in a while, right? I don't remember if she was with him in the G1 or not. And you know, it's not, I don't miss her just because she's, you know, a very lovely lady. Wow. It's, I always enjoyed imagining that they are an actual couple and that they have a bunch of beautiful children running around. Always warmed my heart to imagine that. So, I'm just going to keep imagining that even with Miho not being there.
Right.
She's still in all of our hearts.
That's right. I agree. And like, again, interesting that this team got the win over El Fantasma and Hikaleo. I think like this is that one hiccup, you know, for El Fantasma and Hikaleo. Is Tai Chi and Yuya going to be there at the finals? I don't think so.
No, they'll be close. They definitely, yeah, I'd like to see them do well, but you know, Tai Chi is just slotted pretty firmly in the mid card at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just feel like, bringing in a new guy like that and giving them a push like that, when you have other contenders who are probably better off, especially like El Fantasma and Hikaleo, I feel like this was a match to kind of help get them over a little bit, but then really El Fantasma and Hikaleo are going to, I think, step on the gas. They're going to turn around in their next block match. So that's the end of our second night, which is the 25th, which is night 4. And so that brings us to night 5 on this one. And again,
this was in Fujisawa. And the mayor of Fujisawa was seated front row at this show. They talked about this on commentary. Yeah. And I just love Japanese culture where, like, you know, what other in America, you're never going to get like the mayor of like Cleveland being front row at like a WWE show, right? They just don't do that. But like in Japan, they just have this respect for like, well, there's this important show that's happening in my city and I need to be there as the public official and representative and watch a bunch of guys punch each other in the face.
Yeah. But I mean, at the same time, too, they probably are at that show, but we don't have that respect and preference for our political leaders because they're kind of crap. Let's be honest.
Right. Exactly.
Let's be honest. Because I know of times where mayors have been at different shows for whatever. For example, I know that when WWE first started back on the road, which was in Fort Worth, which is about 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Dickies Arena is about 30 minutes away from my house in the east in Fort Worth. I do know that the mayor was there because it was the first touring event. They were first to be back on.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
You know, and the mayor of Dallas was at Raw the next night in Dallas. So,
cool.
But you know, that wasn't on TV because it's not Bad Bunny. It's not, you know, celebrities. Yeah. You know, that's not going to pop people. Half the time you show a politician on your screen, we're going to be like, boo, get out of here.
Either boo or just indifferent silence.
Yeah, like, whatever, you know. So, you know, but which sometimes if a politician came across my screen, it would make me like a sad strawberry. What do you call a sad strawberry? A blueberry.
A blueberry. Yes, you'd be a blueberry if you saw name any local politician. I just wanted to point that out. What was our first block match here?
Block match. And I talked about this earlier. The only match I saw ahead of time was the Monster Sauce and Lube match versus Atlantis Jr. and Soberano.
You got it. There we go.
Let's go on our last one. Last one I'm saying is Soberano Jr. That match. It was a really good match. And again, just like the two nights before, Monster Sauce loses the 6-man match, which It's fine. It's not a big deal. Our block match A, we have Shota Umino and Rin Narita, and they defeat the Gates of Agony, Bishop Khan and Toa Leona. Again, I'm surprised that this went the way it did, if I'm honest. I'm surprised that we now have Gates of Agony down 0-3 walking into block A of World Tag League. I thought for sure this was going to be the night they got a win.
It's kind of, I think this shows the limits of Tony Khan's booking stroke, where usually he has all his guys go over, but apparently that doesn't extend to Gates of Agony. Yeah, they're 0-3 at this point.
Right, but I mean, you know, granted, so for example, you have all four of these guys are new to World Tag League, right? But Shota and Rin are New Japan product versus Ring of Honor product and Khan and Leona. And so they go, you know what? Let's go with the guys we know, which are these guys. And both are all new. So let's just give the win to these guys, even though one's hasn't gotten any wins yet with Gates of Agony and Shota and Rin. They had a loss and they had a win. So let's go ahead and make them 2-1. Let's not give the other guys a win yet, which I found real interesting because, boy, the look of these two compared to Shota and Rin, you know, the way, if you're just going to go by the eyeball test, I would have thought Shota and Rin would have not gotten the win in here, just from the eyeball test. But, solid match. I don't feel like there was anything in this match that was super egregious or made me go, other than the final, like the end of it was a little surprising, you know, for the win here. But
a little bit, yeah. I think my main takeaway, and it's kind of been discussed on the last episode of the show, is I just think there is a pretty, when you watch Shota and Rin together, it really shows how I think Shota has it a lot more put together than Rin does, as far as just that in-ring charisma, right? Like, mm-hmm. Shota has really taken a bunch of leaps and bounds in the last few months and is really engaging to watch. And Rin is good. Rin doesn't, like, you know, stink it up in there. But Rin just doesn't – he just needs to figure out how to, like, really make that intensity really pop off the screen. He's just not popping off the screen right now.
Right.
But, right. You know, again, he's got time, and I think he can find it. He just needs to have the right kind of setting and the right character and, I don't know, maybe the right motivation. So we'll see.
True. Look, you know, but I'm willing to put up with it because he's a young guy still, and he's going to learn. Like, Great Ol' Khan, when he first showed up with, you know, his gimmick, like, how many of us were going to be, oh, well, look where he's at now. I mean, yeah. It was real ridiculous to begin with. I mean, even Evil in the beginning was real ridiculous, you know, to begin with. And I mean, he's still ridiculous, but in a different way now. And the fact that of how he wrestles now. But like, I just feel like time will help, you know, and the more time you spend in the character, the more you begin to define and shape the character and really begin to know it and own it. I feel like right now it's just, he's rinse and repeating Shibata, and he's going to have to eventually get on his own, and he'll figure it out.
Agreed. You
know, whatever that might be. But as far as the match goes, it was fine. I don't feel like there was anything like super standouty. I don't feel like there was anything crazy. And I enjoyed it. It was fine for what it is.
Yep.
Okay, so next was the one I accidentally told the start of earlier, which was Bullet Club War Dogs, Coughlin and Kidd versus Chaos of Ishii and Yano, where Ishii and Yano were coming out, and Yano did not get to do anything because the War Dogs jumped out.
No. You got it the other way around.
Did this I get it?
The War Dogs were coming out, and Ishii and Yano did what those guys usually do.
What they did last night. Yeah, the night before with Shota. Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. And that, I loved that. And it's one of those things that does, though, it highlights the logic gaps in pro wrestling where, like, you know, the second that Gabe Kidd does that to somebody where, like, he jumps them from behind while they're walking out, every guy then subsequently who is facing Gabe Kidd should be, like, head on a swivel, like looking to see, mm-hmm. but like it pro wrestling logic doesn't work that way. So every subsequent guy that he faces in the future is just walking out like normal. And oh no, I've been jumped. Like, dog, you saw that happen like a couple days ago.
Right. What happened to you? Yeah. You know what's coming, bro.
Yeah. But so yeah, credit to Ishii and Yano. I love that they did that. And yeah, it started like a brawl. I mean, it was like, it was kind of an all over the place brawl, but luckily only for like 3 or 4 minutes. So it didn't, you know, get bogged down in slow kind of walk and brawl stuff. Right. Once they got back in the ring, I thought it was great. Again, it was Alex Coughlin being just an absolute unit and throwing big guys around like they're me, you know, just like he, again, being extremely impressive. That was pretty great.
Yeah. And again, these two continue to show how impressive they are. Coughlin and Gabe, Kidd, the chemistry they have, I really enjoy in the ring as a team. And what they're able to do, they're both big, strong boys. You know what I mean? Let's just be honest. They're big, strong boys who can throw people around really, really good. And I just really feel like, boy, they're doing a really good job of making these kids feel like they belong. Like, hey, this is my time. You know, because let's be honest, Ishii and Yano have been around for a minute. Like, these are veterans, and it's kind of like, you know, the way I would equate this is like, this felt like a match where it was, you haven't experienced this yet. And I technically still haven't experienced this yet because my son hasn't been able to do it. But like when your kid beats you in something, finally,
yeah,
you know, like this match felt like that, you know, it felt like that moment where, you know, your kid finally beats the old man without any help or anything along those lines.
Oh, that's a huge moment in a dad's life. Yeah, I'll be.
Yeah.
I mean, my daughter's beat me in tic-tac-toe a few times. Does that count?
Sure. I'll do that.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, but I really do feel like this was, I don't want to say a passing of the torch, but this is a hey, we're up. We're ready to go. We're ready to do and be that next level, and your guys' time has come. And so I just really feel like that was this match in a way with these two teams, if that makes any sense whatsoever.
Oh, I think so too, yeah. And really both nights that we watched with War Dogs, they had my favorite match of the night. They just bring an intensity and like a viciousness and a very real kind of meanness to every match where they feel like they're really trying to mess guys up, and I'm always here for it.
Yeah. Well, our next match of the night was our pee break match of the night, which was Team Noah versus House of Torture. Team Noah wins against Evil and Utero. Again, we had the Dick to Go match where they hold him up, they hold somebody upside down and spread his legs and chop him in the nuts, like, yeah.
Which cool. I did appreciate Chris Charlton with a good choppy choppy the PP reference
choppy,
there.
Choppy, pee-pee reference. Yeah.
But you know, the one wrinkle in the House of Torture BS was that Evil did the thing where, and it's been done to me in pickup basketball games where like somebody who's not on your team like goes behind you and pretends like they're on your team and like, hey man, give me the ball. And then you like, before, because it's happened to me where I vividly remember in a YMCA game, I was like kind of playing well, which is rare for me. And I was like driving down and the guy was like, yo, behind it. And I passed it and it was not a guy on my team. And he totally, totally played me. Evil did that to, I think, Oiwa at some point, like pointed in a different direction where everybody looked, and then he just like kicked him in the dick or something that happened. And that, so that was at least, you know, I'll give Evil credit, a slight wrinkle to the usual nonsense.
Right. But when is it that you're at what point, again, wrestling logic, why are you not wearing a cup when you wrestle these guys?
You should have maximum dick protection. True.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you have a guy who is on the other team, Dick to Go. I mean, so if anything, you should know, protect your package at all times. You know, I mean, that should be structure number one. Clint Eastwood, that, you know, where, you know, like in The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, where he put the, you know, the thing, oh, yeah, on, or like they recreated in Back to the Future 3, you know, yep, put the chest plate on so you can, okay, get shot and then, you know, get up, you know. Hello, come on, McFly, think, McFly, think, let's go. You would think that would happen, but wrestling logic hasn't caught up with that yet for some reason. Again, this is a match. Team Noah gets the win. They go to 2-1 for 4 points, and Evil and Yujiro go to 1-2 with 2 points for the night on that one. And then we come to our main event. Our main event of TMDK, Shane Hayes and Nichols versus United Empire, Great O'Khan and Hanare. And, I mean, going in, you had to know TMDK was going to win, right? They're 2-0. They were going to go to 3-0. United Empire is good, but they're just not. They're not the same. And I love Hanare, I really do, but it feels weird not to have Jeff Cobb in this tournament.
Yeah, do we know why that's the case? Has anybody said?
No, I haven't heard anything. But of course, we haven't seen Jeff Cobb in a while either, though.
It's been a bit. Yeah, I'm a little worried that he might be one of the ones that they've kind of been hinting at on the JCast about maybe his contract being up and him not re-signing. I could see him being an AEW guy, you know. But
yeah, I mean, he could be. But at the same time, too, he's also been known for, you know, his willingness to be a free agent. You know, I mean, I don't know if he really did like enjoy his time with AEW, because, you know, he was there for literally one match and then left, you know.
Well, he did a couple. He did the Kenny Omega one, but him and right, O'Khan had a couple, like Forbidden Door, and they showed up on Dynamite once or twice.
He did that under the New Japan banner. I wouldn't count those. Yes. Like, I guess I don't count those, because like the only one I really count is the Kenny Omega one, right? Okay. Because, you know, he wasn't there as a New Japan contracted thing, because he didn't even have a United Empire singlet on at the time. It was just,
oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah, that was early AEW, and there was talk of him going to New Japan, and they did that, and they're like, oh no, maybe AEW signed him, and then he ended up being and signing with New Japan and joining the United Empire. So, yeah. He marches to the beat of his own drum. So who knows? Maybe he just wanted time off. You know,
I can't blame him for not wanting to do the tag league. It's perfectly understandable.
Right. And I can understand that. You know, I mean, you know, with someone like Jeff Cobb, he's like a bear. You don't tell the bear what to do. But, you know, what do you call a bear with no teeth? A gummy bear.
I'm really pushing the seamless transitions into these jokes. It's just, yeah, it's a real work of art.
I try. I do what I can. But, you know,
with this match, what I first thought of when it started was, and they did call this out on commentary, how that match in the G1 between Mikey Nichols and Hanare, where Mikey accidentally dropped Hanare on his head. I think that was like night one or night two, where, you know, the usually unflappable Kevin Kelly, who would like never cuss, even when that happened, even he went, shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I like that, like that, you know, like Hanare is like still pissed that happened in D1, you know, months ago. Yeah. And that carried over into this match, which was great. I also wanted to shout out my other favorite, commentary related moment of this match, which was Alex Zane was on commentary on this night. Yes. So on the nights that we watched, we got both members of Monster Sauce. And he, Shane Hayes got like thrown over the barricade, kind of like onto the announce table. Yeah. And Alex Zane fell over, and his exact line was, ah, geez, Louise, I'm down on the ground. And it really cracked me up. It was,
yeah, yeah. No, it's like Alex Zane is an entertaining dude.
Yeah.
And that was a good moment. I enjoyed the match. I thought this was a good match, though. I really enjoyed it. I think the right team won. I feel like, you know, both of these teams are really, really solid teams. I felt like the chemistry that both all four of these guys had was really, really good. And I enjoyed this match. I had a hard time. This was like my 1A match of the night. Like I really liked the Bullet Club War Dogs versus Chaos match. That was match of the night, but boy, this made a really great case for being match of the night as well. I just feel like this was how you end the match, and I feel like this is why TMDK is gonna be the A block winner. Look who's getting most of the main event nights. Both nights we watched, who was the main event both nights? TMDK. They're 3-0. I just don't feel like – I feel like they're going to be in the finals.
Yeah. But it could be the classic Gedo booking misdirection of one team, you know, starting out hot and then kind of trailing off toward the end. So you just never know what Gedo's going to do there.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like lately his booking has been all over the place. You know,
yep.
You know, let's be honest. He has been Captain Swerve City, you know. But, you know, sometimes – you go into a thing knowing this team is the team to beat. And I feel like TMDK and the A block is the team to beat, you know, everybody else has to work up to their level. I really feel like that going in. I felt like that going into this thing that, you know, they were going to be the ones to beat. And so far that's been proven.
Yeah. I think it's them or Shota and Ren, you know, Shota and Ren, I think have a pretty good case for, you know, being featured on Wrestle Kingdom. I think that's really like the only reason I think that, but I think it's a pretty good reason to think that they might get there.
See, I would say it was too early for them. I would say Shota and Ren, like they could be your nipping at the heels, or they could keep, maybe they're the spoilers to keep the War Dogs out, you know, something along those lines. I just don't feel like they're there yet as far as, you know, being featured at Wrestle Kingdom. I feel like TMDK is a better choice out of A block for that. Like of all the teams in A block, I feel like the most ready to be featured at Wrestle Kingdom is TMDK. You know, personally,
I think that might be the case. Yep.
Yeah. But you know, that ends our watching for this. Although I did get a little confused because when I was looking at the different times, I'm like, okay, what time am I watching? What time? For the 26th, it's, you know, they list the times and they start from Pacific Coast to East Coast. And it said 11 o'clock Pacific time on the 25th. And then it said, you know, to like 2 o'clock Eastern time on the 26th. And I'm going, wait, what?
What?
Like, what time is this? Like, wait, I thought we watched on the 25th. What? And then it took me a second to realize, oh, no, it's going to start at this time, you know,
in the morning.
At the East Coast, it's 2 a.m. on the East Coast. But if you back that up to the West Coast time, which is at the same time, that is 11 o'clock on West Coast time, which is still the 25th. Okay. Like these overnight scheduling thingies, trying to keep up with the times make me.
It can be a little tough here, you know, us dads trying to keep a schedule together and trying to remember how time zones work. It's a lot. Okay.
It's a lot. And so, you know, if you felt like we stumbled around in the dark with this, that's okay. We're dads. We have a lot going on. But, you know, and we're old, but we're not that old. But we do know why the old man fell into a well, because he couldn't see that well.
Again, haven't heard that one. You're bringing the heat tonight, John. Bringing the heat.
I try. I do what I can. Love it. I again, but Elliot, I think that's all of our coverage for tonight for the Super Dad Cast for everything here. Is there anything you feel like we need to talk about before we send this home?
I think watch your World Tag League at your leisure. Don't watch everything. Watch what feels right for you as a person here and in this crazy world in 2023, and do your thing. Do we have plugs? Do we have stuff we want to?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you now that we're done. Yes. And I'll also remember, don't be a Suki and Gene Blast everywhere. Be Hinare and save it for when it's necessary.
Save your genes, everybody.
Save your genes. Oh, God. Gene Blast. Oh, my God. Anyway, Elliot, why don't you tell the lovely people where they can find you on the internet and everything along those lines if they want to hear your opinion on Twitter or whatever platforms you're on.
I'm a little bit on X, formerly known as Twitter, ELLIOTSEMI, Elliot Semi. My last name is Iams, so it's Semi is Iams backwards. You can get me on there. I play occasionally in a band called The Book of Bugs, and if you look that up on Spotify, The Book of Bugs, there's an album called No Visitor. I don't play on that album. My friend Derek played everything on it, the guitar, bass, drums, vocals, and all that. I do guest vocals on one song, in the first song, so if you check that out. But yeah, we're playing a show next month. Unless you live in Des Moines, Iowa, you're not going to see it. But hit me up if you want to find out about that. So that's my main plug. But I also, like I did last year, I got a plug. Voices of Wrestling, we're on the network. Subscribe to the flagship Patreon. It is, I think, the best wrestling analysis that you're going to find out there. If you're a person who, you know, appreciates both the current wrestling but also wrestling history, they do it all. Joe and Rich, again, I know I'm blowing smoke, but it's genuine. Those guys do excellent work. So subscribe to Voices Wrestling flagship Patreon.
Hey, there you go. And of course, you can always find me as Elliot sees it, says it right here. But the rest of you, you can find me on the internet's Jay Reezy Men on TikTok, Instagram, and the X or Twitter, or whatever you want to call it. I don't know. I'm an old man. I get used to my way, so I'm probably going to always call it Twitter for the rest of my life. I'm not going to call it X. That just seems dumb. So you can find me there and all that kind of stuff. I guess I won't plug my wrestling podcast that I do normally, which covers SmackDown, but I will plug my Star Trek podcast because I am a giant nerd that I've been doing for a while. It's called The Academy Podcast. You can find it on the Hami Media Group on Spotify or other your podcasters of choice. So if you like to hear some fun and interesting takes on Star Trek, with me and my friend Triple D, we talk Star Trek a good bit. He's been having going through some stuff, so we haven't been able to talk the most recent Lower Decks or things along those lines. But it's really, really good stuff if you want to check it out as well. And other than that, just always remember to make sure to check in your areas about your crisis center, their local needs, what they have. Every area has some kind of crisis center that needs some kind of help. Their shelters can always use products, toilet paper, other things like that. Some of our biggest needs are diapers, toilet paper, things. If you're interested in contributing, because it's going to be the end of the year here and you need to do something for your taxes and you want to get something to get a little tax credit, you can always look up freedomhousepc.org here in Weatherford and see how you can donate or give to some of the things that we might need. And guess what? When you give, you get a little receipt and you get a tax credit for it. So, hey, win-win. You help us out and you get a little tax break for it as well. It feels dirty to say that, but it's also a great way to kind of like, you know, hey, just do it. Just fun. It'll be good stuff. Just do it. Just be nice. Just be a good human. So with that said, I think, ladies and gentlemen, that is all for today. That's what we're going to go out on. I hope you've had a great time on the Dadcast. And as we say, as always, goodbye. And until next year, we hope that you have a dadtastic day.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.